Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I am your host, Nick O'Neill, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening. Boy, we have had so much going on around here. It's been absolutely wonderful. Who knew that the end of summer slash fall would be really busy for sport kites and kiting in general? So apologies to those of you that were looking for multiple episodes published here recently. We're going to do a double episode this week, get more out for you so you can hear all the good stuff that we've been working on. And the double episodes this week are both around a gentleman that was there at the Sport Kite Camp in Long Beach, Washington, and his name is Michel Gagnon, and he joined us to talk about team flying for dual line team flying and kind of doing an introduction for those of the folks that had not necessarily been team flying before. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into this episode and get started. And I hope you enjoy it and do stay tuned. We will have another recording with him, another episode with him, kind of an after action report about what he thought about the Sport Kite Camp and kind of his findings and stuff coming there. And then if you are looking for more information, be it the handout that we had for his talk or his contact information, we do have it on the sportkite.org website. If you go to the tab that says Sport Kite Camp and the drop down menu that says Fireside Chats, you'll find quite a bit there that will have not only his recording and his information, but it will also have folks like Spence Watson, Carl Robertshaw, Paul DeBacher, and Scott Weider. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into this episode, and I hope you enjoy it.
All right, I start, and I'm going to make it short because I know you guys want to fly, but how many team flyer experience is in this? One, two, okay, was that? All right. So, my name is Michel Gagnon. I'm from Montreal, and I've been flying for 20 years, 23 years. And my first team flyers team was with Robert Trépanier. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this work, but he made a quad asymmetric, like a dog, a bone, and faces, and kind of follow. It's not a normal quad figure, and it's like almost like there's no order in the flight because it's puppet, okay? So anyway, it's very difficult without an image, but it was an asymmetric flying, while team flying is symmetrical in general. There's an organization in the sky, and I learned mostly by myself. I never had somebody taught me what I've been doing now. I'm a violin maker. I make violins in my professional life. I also play violin. I'm mostly in the classical music field, okay? Which is very different than what I use in the team. And I'm very excited about the tricks, okay? I need to play drums when I do tricks. It's like, okay? And my teammate don't do that with me. So I got to pace myself in order to match my teammate. So basically what team flying is, in my opinion, is a blending of all everybody's ability. So everybody flies the same way. So in order to unify this thing, the various personality, you do have to have the same kite, the same technique of flying, and kind of a preparation. You need to have the same vision of what is going to happen. Okay, it's not improvisation, but it's try to organize. So in order, in this little pamphlet, you're going to have a lot of little pages like this, and they all out of orders. Or
yeah,
reason
thank
of
you. Sorry.
Well, she sent me a copy of what she was doing, and I couldn't get in line in order to correct it. So it would be a good puzzle to do at home, to try to cut the page and try to put in this in the correct order, okay? And I will give you the answer. You have my email on the second page, on the third page, and I will give you the answer if you want or not, the order of all those pages. Just going back to the importance of what team flying is about, vocabulary, understanding the words, having the same words to understand what is asked to do, position of the flyer on the ground. You should see if the number captain is on the right. Normally it's kite number one. You should be able to see the shoulder of the guy in front of you, okay? Then the basic follow, infinity. It's like testing the window. We're exploring the window, establishing the center of the window. It's just infinity is not a routine. It's a warm-up. It's a warm-up of getting the right space between each kite, okay?
Can I just add a quick bit? You mentioned about how you should see the shoulder of the person next to you, right?
Yes.
And there's a reason for that. It's because if you are even or in front, you're going to catch their draft, and you're going to be all bumpy. So if you stagger back, then you each have clear wind, and you can fly through. So there's a reason for that.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to make sure that reason was clear.
One more quick question. Yes. You use same length line for each flyer?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
That's why the stagger.
Yes, yeah. And if you're using different length, okay, then it's another position. That's another school thing. If you fly by yourself, all your lines are three kites, where they do have different length, but that's not to have the draft of the turbulence of the kite in front of you. Yes. So in order to get the tools, I mean, everybody knows those stick, right? And that's what those sticks are for, to rehearse. To follow thing, this tip, this pointing goes on the outside tip, pointing, aiming to the outside tip, and then the kite, aiming, will follow the same shape, will follow the same trajectory. I'm aiming to the outside tip now, aiming to the outside, and I will follow the track, okay? So if you cut the curve too much, then you're getting more speed. You understand that the basic follow is a little training, it's to blend the team together. Then there's entry and exit of different pattern of splitting and various things, okay? So the main thing for me that I discover in terms of getting a new flyer, you don't need to be an expert flyer to fly in a team. Beginners, best to go and right there you go next and say follow me, try to follow. So you teach the new flyer by flying with them, okay? It's the best way to say, let's go on the right side. No, and then you correct position of the flyer. So the handling, the tools that we have is those things. That's what we have in our hands, okay? So you get the other one. And to me, if we don't have the same position of flyer, and I'm going to say, my hands together with the same length of line will make a straight line up and down. Now I'm going that way, making a little turn, and the kite's going to go like this. So I have to pivot in order to get my same setup, okay? If I stay like this and the kite goes like this, I have to compensate, and now I'm all twisted and the kite is doing not a straight line. So if you look at some team, French team, they always have their hands like this and like this and like this, and they pivot on their body, keeping the heart in front of the kite while they're traveling, and this little technique of keeping your hands together while you driving the kite all over the place will be more precise control of the thing. Then, with that in the tool, the technique is a tool. So with that technique, if you program your brain that this is equal, I could touch my hand on the back, and now I have an equal relevant position. How do I know if I'm equal, if my hands are here, you know? But if I train my brain, program my brain for touching my hand, I do have an understanding relationship between how I am, going that way, because I did program touching. So the touching of the hand and pivoting is a personal training device that every flyer should do when they fly and do this basic infinity. Okay. Then we go into traveling the window. The window is divided in height, 100% being the top, the bottom is zero, halfway is 50, so we got a 25 in the 75 height. And we have, let's see, we have the window, the head and the shoulder and the nipple. The nipples are like at the 50. So using the wind window has a, how do you describe the wind window? So you understand that we're going around the nipple. We're going around the nipple. So we're going from one nipple to the other, okay, at the 50% level. Going 75, going down 25, going 75, going 25. So this window is organized now. So then we could do all kind of things in those in this thing. First of all, I have to say that I never give a lecture like this before. Okay.
So you're doing flying.
and this is also. Thank you.
I got one for you.
I'm never compete. I've never been to competition. Mostly stayed in my own town of Montreal for 20 years and developing the team. I may have like 16 flyers on and on with a group of eight that are really we're flying in the winter, so we really like the flying, okay? And they all fly quad and dual. And the quad is more popular because if it's really windy, we all just put vented there and we play around and do all the same basic stuff that everybody does, okay? But the dual line require a little bit more of control of the planification is more important in the dual line than in a quad line. The quad line, you could stop things and start again, okay? The dual line is a little task of a more preparation before we get into the air, and simple stuff like going in a follow, going a column and split, odd always go on the right, and even goes on the left, and then and 180 and a pass through. Okay. This is a beginning figure. It's a beginning of a flying team. It looks cool, and then we get back in line. So the drawing here that you have there are all beginners, but not one. One is a complex one, which is a Solaris and a pass through and Solaris. Okay. In my opinion, that's an advanced figure. Very difficult to get. The Solaris is—it's like everybody making a big circle and dive in, pass through, and making another big circle. So we got kite all over the place, but making like a big round thing, dive in, pass through—that requires a lot of preparation, understanding of the overall picture, and it's always the kite that is not the right place. No, pair, it's very difficult to do team with pair. I don't call a pair team. It's a pair. Three kites, suddenly you cannot do what you're doing in pairs because there's a third kite there. It changed the whole structure. Four kites, five, six, eight, at one point you're too many kites. You have to make 2 liters because the wind window is too small. Okay, so 2 liters, it's another concept that is very interesting to lead. Leader on the left, now the last one becomes the leader, okay? And a team flyer, a partner. What is a good team partner? Somebody doesn't say a word and follow? Maybe, yes, it is, okay? But I like to change position. When I do a routine, I say, okay, now you lead. Now I'm gonna take the fourth one. I'm gonna change and see what life is in that position. Because if you're not flexible enough, for some reason, you're stuck with your position, you learn your position, and you cannot fly by yourself, almost. Flexibility and an overall picture is a key for development of a team. My purpose to come here on this festival was to find teammates. And also I feel like I'm isolated as a, my desire to fly together like the quad. You could see the quad situation and you saw how the quad developed over the years, like a major, everybody wants to fly quad and they all, why? Because it's a group thing. Everybody feel that they could get into the group. The newcomers, when they come in, oh, what group I'm gonna fly in with? Who's gonna accept me? And actually, it's quite easy to join a group if your level of flyer is a little bit okay. You could stay in your position, then you'll be included in a group. But in dual line, this is very difficult to include the newcomer. And again, you don't need to be an expert flyer to fly in a team of dual line. There's more, it's easier actually to fly dual line as long as you know how to land, I think. This is like a requirement, okay? And as long as you know how to do a push turn versus a pull turn. Actually, you need to be able to do both. A push turn and a pull turn. Making square is also a beginning practice to set up pace between the flyer, unify the thing. And a push turn will keep the power, but not increasing the power. Okay, and always do a push turn when you go down, but a pull turn when you go up, okay? So be able to do both is a tool for the flyers to make an input into the general choreography. The space between each kite, if they're too close, like yesterday we did a performance and my mistake, I was too close to my partner and we got tangled. Okay, if I had really left the correct space, we would not have this going into the other guy's line and there would be a mistake. Those are details that somehow makes the whole thing looks good. And what is it that looks good? It's organized flight looks good. Unorganized flight doesn't look good. Everybody does their own thing. And organizing a flight could look complicated, but we don't have that many options. As a tool, what do we have? We have straight line. How many straight lines do we have in a window? We have a vertical, we have a horizontal, and a diagonal. The diagonal that looks nice is the 45 diagonal. Very rarely we'll call, well, let's go 75. No, we'll go 45, okay? So we got 3 straight lines in our toolbox. Then we have curve. how many type of curve do we have? Well, we have a circle, which is, you know, it's a nice even curve. Now we have the size, the dimension of that thing. A pivot is right on the tip, okay? Half a turn, a quarter of a turn, a full circle. So the size of that plus how many you do, half of it or three quarter of it. So I made a clockwise and anti-clockwise. And if you make a curve, this would be a complete turn, 360. But we could divide it in four. So that would be like a clockwise. I'm going your way. This is clockwise for you?
Yep.
Okay. So plus four, plus clockwise, four, four. So one, two, three, four. Four, I mean. So plus three, one, two, three. Plus two, one, two. Plus one, one. So those are ways to communicate information, what we're gonna do. Minus one, boom. Minus two, minus three. One, two, minus four. One, two, three, four. Plus eight. One, two, three, four. So we got two turns, okay? So those are tools to make it simple. See, everybody understand the tool. If I come here and say, hey, plus three, then nobody's gonna understand what we do, okay? So in the team that you build, you establish a vocabulary that then you go in the field and everybody understand what you do. Preparing the stick is another tool to prepare the routine before we get in the field and do it. Write it down every single step you do. Launching, sequence, it will say how you do the launch, okay? In what order, and what you do then, and then landing. Okay, how do you do the landing? You're planning the landing. For me, easy, go on the right, land on the right. Okay, you go in the edge of the window, and that's it. Landing in the middle, it's very difficult for a team. So if you want a top team, you do land in the middle. Okay, so everybody say, wow. Okay. So basically, team is for me communication. I'm very happy that I met this gentleman here, Mr. Mario De Luca. I'm from Canada, Montreal, and he's from Canada, so we have the possibility of representing Canada in international competition. So we'll see. It's the first time I met those people, him and his friends, and we probably saw us flying, and it's the first time for them that they fly team. Selection of the kite is always a problem in building a team. I flew with the Genesis of Level 1 for years, the UL, the Vented, and Standard. And some guys did not like the Genesis, so they never flew with us, okay? Because they don't like the line get tangled and the big button on each end. And they didn't like the kite, so they did not flew with us. So selection of the kite with team kite is not a freestyle kite, precision kite. Travel in different ways, turn different ways, and it's not boring, actually. It's an advantage. Team kite should make a big keel in the sail. Sail is folding in half around the spine, and it makes a straight keel, like a sailboat, okay? The sailboat, do 180 with a sailboat. It's not a jet ski, okay? A freestyle kite is a jet ski. So the analogy between a sailboat and a jet ski is relevant to precision kite and freestyle kite.
Like yes? The Yasu in, obviously, you might know Yasu from France.
So he's got an idea that a good team kite is a beginner's kite, one that you don't have to look at, that you can feel. So you can, so you know where the kite is without looking at it. So it's got good feedback. So it's a good beginner's kite, ultimately.
I really did not understand what you said.
I'm sorry.
But can you say it again, so make sure I get it?
So what makes a good team kite is also a good beginner's kite as well. So it's very easy to fly, so you're not concentrating on flying the kite, you're concentrating on flying the team.
Yeah. Okay. So I will go into the overall vision, the vision that you see, the flyer's vision of positioning, having an overall. You have to develop an ability to fly your kite without having to look at your kite and where is it going, okay? So you're positioning your kite in a general picture. It's always the one, it's not at its place that we see, mm-hmm. okay? It's not the one that are all at their place. So saying that, the call for the in the command, in the execution command, there's always like two preparation command information. We're gonna go and do that, and then there's a go do that. It's very difficult for captain to keep focus, but it's an ability that needs to be developed by the captain that calls to make a good preparation and then a good go now. And you know, it's a quality of the team to have a good captain that calls on the right. On that, I need more team flying experience in order to develop my ability of being a captain. And I liken to step out and leave and somebody else try to do it, okay? Because if it's always the same person, you depend on that call in order to react. And the figure itself don't need call if you know what's gonna happen. At one point, when you fly a long time with others, you don't even need to call anymore, okay? There's a little bit of a, and especially if you do it with the music is the call. The beat in the music is established. And if you have a routine, then, but Mr. Carl here has lot more experience, and I'm pretty sure he will say totally different things. But what I said, the purpose of this little lecture that I wanted to do was to invite you guys, everybody that has experience already, and don't fly team anymore on a dual line because of don't have the same kite, doesn't have the, I don't know, it's. But your experience there is there, and you have a responsibility to pass it on to other, the younger generation. And I think if we, let's see, I'd like to join a double line team and fly with them, a mega fly, a fun fly of dual line, you know? It doesn't have to be regulated and really stiff. No, a fun fly of dual line, what it looks like, you know? In Europe, they do a lot of fun fly dual line. And why? Because everybody has the kite to do fun fly. Fun fly on the rev, everybody has rev. Doesn't matter what kite you have, you're gonna do a fun fly with the rev. You're gonna join in. So fun fly with stunt kite. Everybody has some stunt kite. Well, at that point, you need to have the same length of lines, of course. And a little bit of notion, what are the basic general layout of the kite in the sky, you know? So diagrams of, I like that page number 7, which is, I would say, if you get to that set here, I call it the goose flight. The goose flight. You see goose flying, they have a pattern. Okay, what is the pattern? It's a V pattern, a V. Why is it a V? It's because there's always one that's not in its place somehow. Okay, and there's a leader, there's an arrow, and then there's one there, but there's five this way. It makes a V shape anyway, you know? And so how do you travel from one side of the window to the other? And one thing that flyers don't like, and they kind of say, okay, it's not for me, it's because, it got together, and then it takes a lot of times to separate Dane and do it again. Okay, it's true. I don't like it when it happened to me, okay? But that's what we have to do to go further, okay? And breaking a line in very rarely in the four lines team fun fly somebody breaks a line, very rarely. Often in a fun fly or dual line people breaks line because it's not organized enough, okay? People don't have the training to do how to do the fun fly of dual lines. And solution to that is communication with the people who's there. Well, don't follow me as close. Experience in the field is priceless. We could talk a lot, but if you don't go out there and fly, somehow you're missing something. It's not complete. It's not a complete experience. And then what else can I say right now?
I have a question.
Yes.
What is the? I heard that it's 120 feet is the norm for team line length.
It could be. Normally, it's a little bit longer for precision.
For quad line it is, but normally for dual line it's about 140 to 150 feet.
Ah,
yeah.
So the difference between quad
longer.
And dual line.
Yeah.
Yep.
So quad's 120?
Yeah.
Yep.
Quad has the benefit of being able to pause and make a lot more use of your wind space, of your wind window, whereas dual line, having a bit more space is really useful because I can't really pause to really squeeze in these tight spaces as easily, so a bit more space is nice.
Dual, it's 150.
Yeah, no, yeah.
140, 150, 160. 160 is a little bit long, is it? 160.
Well, it depends if you're, like, in the Bunnies with six people, we did have a 160 foot line because you want to fly big. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and you have more space, but then...
Yes.
I was going to ask you guys, what line length were you flying on?
We start out, 90 pound is 120, and we go up to 130, and that was it. Right.
Okay. Unless the wind was really high,
but
you put
extension. Right?
Yeah, and it's, it's just all the same length line, but, 150 up, we even flew up 300 pounds one time in France.
Whereas we fly on, our optimal line, it would be a heavy line, so the old top of the line way of flying is fly on the heaviest line you can, because you can see it, it's visible, but also it helps dampen the...
Yeah, it slows the kite down.
Slows the kite.
Right. Yeah.
And then at a small team is, if you're so far apart, you lose each other.
Yeah.
Whereas when you've got a lot of kites in the sky, then actually that space is...
330 is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4, 5, you better add some length.
Yeah.
Give you more time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's an extension we've put 120 feet line of 20 foot that you add on, okay? If you want to have another set, it reduces the... So, positioning of the kite in the follow is important. Understanding where we're going, having a good collar, and then what else is important? Again, this is beginners team flying, and I'm going to repeat that you don't need to be an expert flyer to fly in a team of dual line, because it's exclusive. I like to be inclusive, including, I know how to fly dual line, but I fly by myself. Well, maybe it's time to match with others and get the correct preparation to go and fly with others. Because you can't, without the preparation, you just cannot go and fly with others. You need to have a preparation before you go and fly with others. We're doing a, I like to build a team of freestyle, and of course the 120 foot and even the 100, it's too long of a line if we want to do tricks and fast and then stop and really get some really cooking figures with, you know, four guys that could do cascade in the same time or four fade or four, it looks really neat, okay? And shorter line, but shorter window, fast. It's not for everyone. It's not for everybody to do that kind of a freestyle team thing. But the, I would say, more average beginners or old timer, I would say the name, old time flyers that know how to fly and make a circle and make some square. Well, it's time to join the team, make a team. Make a team fly, make a fun fly. And when I come next year here, I'll be able to join a fun fly of dual line, okay? And that's it, that's my, that's what
I've
I have
to say. I've got a question on the back of that. What's the feeling or the, what do you get out of the team flying that you don't get when you're individual flying?
It's a very good question, and we're on the front seat when we do team flying, okay? And being on the front seat of this vision thing, first of all, you feel like you, it's like playing in a band. You don't want to make the odd thing, it's not with the rhythm, it's the togetherness, the, it gives, it's like sharing a meal. How is it to cook something and eat, or cook something and eat with others? Okay, it's the same thing. So, what is it that flying the kite gives to you? Why is it that we like it? So, it's a very tough question. It's a very tough question to answer.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
But I would say it creates a kind of a dope in the mind. It creates something that is wow. And if you don't have the teammate to create that wall, then you take your single line and do some tricks, you know? And you get some.
I like your meal analogy. I think it's great.
Yes.
Like cooking together and eating together.
Yep.
So much nicer in many ways than what I used to do it by yourself. Yeah. I love that analogy.
Like how many people could do half axle here, you know? So let's do half axle together. So yeah, we have to organize the flight in order, if everybody start to make half axle in an unorganized way, it still look, it still look funny. So we have to organize the flight in a way that, oh, now we do the half axle together, right. We're doing the other side, and it looks neat, you know, it looks, what is the pleasure we got from that? That's a really tough answer.
It's a great accomplishment to do it together.
Yeah.
Well, that's what team's all about, is synchronicity. Her and I do half axles right, half axles left. And when they work together, it's a beautiful thing. And you feel good.
And somehow it's a beginning. It's a beginner's move. It's not, half axle is a beginner's move. As soon as you know how to do it, some people still have problems do that. It takes a long time to learn. But it's one of the easiest figure actually, and the it's not a complex thing. You don't need to do complex thing to be wow. And so I like everybody to kind of say, okay, maybe we could start flying team, a duo with another duo, and not making something complicated. But do we agree on the terms? But you have to first agree on the terms. And because of the quad experience, you do have a lot of the terms. You do have a lot of ways to describe what's going to do, what's going to happen. So they could be used in a dual line team a lot. You know, a split and then 180 and pass through. And more complex turn, which is like a big wheel passing through, and then the opposé and passing through. When you get those guys to do that, you don't want to stop doing that because it's hypnotizing the front row of the flyers first, you know. Again, selection of the kite is another subject that is always complicated because there's money involved, there's a type of maker involved, there's a lot of things involved. I'm lucky enough to work with Atelier Kite. They made good beginners team kite, okay? The Avatar, it's not very expensive. It has a speed control type kite involved, developed in the engineering of the kite. The kite deforms, so it doesn't accelerate if there's a gust. And they all travel at the same speed. Again, it's not a trick kite. It's a team precision. It's not even called precision. I wouldn't say precision, because precision requires a little bit more of a stiff structure, stiff design. That's why the Avatar is more a beginner's type of precision type, but it's also very permissive and accessible to everyone. So I'm not here to promote the product, but I have them here, and I would love to finish this day with a team flyer of you as a captain. I like to lead. Yeah. I like you to be in. And I like you to be in. You don't need to be there, Mr. Berry. But if you want to be in, yeah, everybody actually, you know.
He didn't want to hear you say no, Johnny. That's why he said he's already given you an out.
Yeah. You know, you welcome, of course you are. Okay. This is what the team flying is about. It's about a fun fly, but more organized. It's an organized fun fly instead of everybody in their own part. Yeah.
Can I add a little thought on that part there about, you said it's a fun fly and you fly together instead of everyone apart, right? And I think a lot about quad line culture there and how it's very common for when you're flying quad line to someone come up next to you and fly next to you, and then another one comes up next to you and flies next to you, and then suddenly, oh, there's three, I might as well call things, right? And we don't have that culture as much in dual line. It's very easy to keep your own separate spaces, but you know, I think if you're comfortable enough and confident enough in your dual line, come stand next to me, go stand next to each other and fly in each other's space and get comfortable with each other. And when there's enough dual lines, I'll do the same goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start calling, and we're gonna start doing some stuff.
Actually,
you know,
it happens.
And it just happens organically. It's if hard. You're comfortable enough to come and be friends and fly in my space, and it's wonderful.
So it started in San Diego. So on the field in San Diego, where mm-hmm. the line started, and you know, the field got really busy. So they had to be organized because they didn't have enough space to fly somebody. So they had to then start flying teams. So they worked it out. That's how it all originated. That's the
so beginners organized flight.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are they? Okay. And there's not that many beginners organized flight. Beside follow, all right. Follow in infinity shape. Then we're gonna do some square, parallel square. So we all go on the bottom, and we all go up, and we start the square, 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 one side and the other, and then we come out of it. Oh, that's a beginner's thing. Now, diamond, parallel. The parallel move is a very nice option. Very difficult to make a parallel circle. It seems funny, but the big circle is one of the more difficult than square. Organizing the same pace of a nice big circle, smaller circle, and do three circle. So you rehearse the first one, then the second one you adjust, and a third one, everybody the same pace. Then you go in the other side. Because remember, the dual line don't stop. It's a continuous movement. It is very, or you go on the edge and do You stop on the edge and wait. You do that. You just wait on the edge. Don't wait. If the wind is mild, don't stop on the top. Stop on the edge. It's easier to get the wind just on the edge between the line of 750 and then follow and make an entrance. You know, go on. So anyway, that's you have the experience. I don't want to take more of your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that and were able to take out some tidbits from it, whether you're an experienced dual line team kite flyer or not. And again, we're going to be including some more information about dual line team flying, specifically because we noticed at the end of this sport kite camp that there were quite a few people that were interested in hopping on the line and doing a sport kite team. So we really want to see that in the coming year. Hopefully at the next year's event, we're going to see a handful of teams there flying and representing. It's just going to be really awesome to have that. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and close out this episode and do stay tuned because we will have the second episode with Michel Gagnon published a little bit later this week, just back to back. And again, if you're looking for more information, you can always go to our website and find information about his kite company, his business, everything, and all of the information from the Sport Kite Camp. All right, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and sign off, and I will see you on the kite field.